Gentlemen, we're going to ask you to stand down for the time being, and we're going to bring forward our delegations, and we will carry forward with possibly more information here on the balance of these, and then we will at least respect our citizens that are here, and all of us are getting paid. They aren't, so we can stay all night. So I will start reading those in support at this point, although that may have changed. Wendy Josephson. Wendy Josephson? Okay, I'm going to read some more here. Jeff Pratt? Support. Bob Henkelman? Bill Eva?
He's gone.
Ravi Joshi?
Support.
Adam Scharf? Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
Okay, just because this is close to where I live, I have a few questions for the developers. And one of them is because the area two is not that many people, and you're proposing, they're proposing 700 to 800 houses with, I think Donovan told me, oh, I don't want to touch that. I don't want to. Thanks. But proposing, I think the maximum width of the lots are 44. Is that right? 44? An average. So considering that my particular house, I think, is 120 foot. Yeah, it's quite large. But what I'm concerned about is that around Area 2, that the houses be a little more consistent with the size of the houses in there. And I think 44 square feet or whatever, the average, is too small. And I have a hard time with, as Donovan showed, the red areas would be multi-family dwellings, which are adjacent to, you know, that area two.
At this point, though, area two is not in discussion. We're not in discussion on two right now.
The area one directly affects area two. Area two is not under development at this point, but area two is an existing property. These are existing properties. So what I'm saying is, while this is a new development, it is adjacent to an existing areas. And I'm looking for a little more, a little larger lots adjacent to the existing area too.
Point taken.
Okay.
Thank you. Where was I reading here? All those guys are not here, so. Victoria McDonald? Support. Alan Roberts?
Support.
Wesley Chamberlain?
Support.
Don Hester? Hestis?
Okay.
Darlene Bocher?
Support.
Terry Bocher?
Support.
Greg Davey?
Support.
Scott Minty?
Support.
Abe Friesen? Mike Armstrong,
support.
Tammy Reynolds, Gerald Engel, Roland DeMolion, Joan Anderson, Michael Caracas. Those are all support. Okay. Any further people in support that would like to speak or at least put their name on the record? Seeing none, we will move to the in opposition, Otto Amant, Leonard Van Roon, Lance Bell,
speak.
Okay, this
is
yeah. That looks like it's senior, but if you want to come, Len, we'll find you in the pile here. There you go. There's so. Go ahead, Len.
Len Van Roon, Jr. I was just wondering if I could get a point of clarification. I was wondering how long the presentation was that Mr. Vogel and Donovan Taves made, roughly. And the reason why I'm asking is I wrote down notes on 56 points to respond to. I have yet to meet with Donna Beach. I just received the inventory priorities. And we're not talking about a general, for the first time, which is good in some ways, we're not talking about a general conceptual plan. What we're talking about is the plan that's coming into place, how it looks, how the lakes look, where the roads are. And we have a meeting tentatively scheduled for the 13th or the 17th with Charleswood Historical, and we haven't had a chance to meet yet. With Rodney Penner and with Donna Beach and with James Beach. So it would be really nice if we could have met with them, gone over some of the points pertinent to Area 1, and then been able to make a presentation with. So I guess my question, I was just wondering if you had a little bit of latitude. Okay. I have 55 points to respond to from what I've heard. I will try and pick maybe 8 of the most important ones. If I can submit the rest for the record in writing, that would be helpful. And I'm part of a democratic organization, so I have to meet with 19 people on a committee and go over this. So hopefully we'll have some feedback that may be useful to some of the other areas if this passes tonight. Okay, so I guess I do have, I would like to request that you consider laying this over for a week or a short period of time so that we would actually have a chance to talk to administration. We haven't had a chance to do that. You don't have to give me your answer right away. I think I know what it's going to be, but really, I
clarify, yeah. Again, we can't.
Once it's on the floor, it has to be dealt with?
Yes, because we've laid it over for 3 meetings now, pending the approval of a plan.
Well, okay. It's, as I say, we appreciate the fact that we had extra time with the layover and the general plan, but at 25 after midnight, I'm the last standing survivor of Charleswood Historical, so I'll make some of our major points. Big Blue Stem, you didn't want to hear about it anymore. There's a difference between sterilizing ground and in 3 years getting a growth of Big Blue Stem and having plants that could be 150 or 200 years old with the same root system. So I would really like to see some consideration before or after the fact of an area of Big Blue Stem that we showed you that could be a centuries old, could be considerably older than those remnant roots of the oak trees. And just to respond to the issue of the trees, I know this area fairly intimately, and a fire went through last year. A fire went through part of Area 2 in 1957 and burnt out just about all the oaks. Yeah, it's nice to keep a broad piece of oaks, but it's a bit more simplistic when we're looking at a prairie ecosystem of remnants of tall grass adjacent to a heritage Red River cart trail. If we've got to take out another 90 feet of bush because a road has to go in, I could live with that. I'd want to check with my committee, but I could, because it would limit some of the vandalism going into Area 2, maybe, and control access a little bit. The point is, you move over close to the original Van Roon Drive, right along the edge, 1,000 feet back, and you miss virtually all the Blue Stem and the 2 prairie remnants. Those prairie remnants, which show up on the sort of show up on the prioritization, but not really. There's 2 areas of prairie, one in Hearthstone, one area here in the Qualico Lands, and those were listed grade A, B. Grade A, B under the natural inventories is supposed to be saved if possible. So there's two green elements on the maps that were so nicely drawn up by our City Naturalist Services, and this is one of them. So I really think that if we're going to show any respect for that area, we will look at building, or instead of having a building plan first, we will look at building around an area that would give a remnant along the forest edge of Big Blue Stem. And if it means coming through the forest, I would ask you to consider at least having that alternative looked at, because the oak trees were burnt out in there, as I say, 2 years ago. Some of them are pretty small. As much as I love them, the animals will find a way through if there's a third as much forest there. But the Big Blue Stem will be gone, and the birds and the things that my dad said we could show people that may have been there 250 years ago or more won't be there anymore under this plan. As I said before, the 3.9 acres we're thrilled with. We talked in our group about staging. We know a little bit better now the reason why that area doesn't have to be drained, because a street goes through with storm sewers and water lines. And when I asked if we could maybe use the road allowance of the old Van Ruin Drive for a lake and expand it on either side and use that for surface drainage, I was told, no, it's not necessary. We're draining our own land through the roads. So there's one of the things we would ask is there any way that that pocket that needs to be developed at some time for cost efficiencies, if it didn't come through, even if the roadway infrastructure has to, could you wait for 5 years? Because we're really worried about the number of cars that we're told there needs to be two roads, okay? Two hard surface roads. This is one of them. If Charlesford Road is open, people will come through there and turn left and go across the Hart Trail in large numbers. So my request would be that you consider delaying till stage two instead of stage one, the pocket close to Charlesford Road, and we look at, I don't know what the engineering aspects would be, to maybe putting in services that have to be put in. I don't care if it's an AT trail on top or if it's just unfinished for the time being, but if that road isn't necessary for 5 years, I would really like to see it not go in until the road closure occurs on Charlesford Road, so I put that forward as a request. I have to address the issue of Cullen Drive, because CCHP and Charlesford Historical looked at it in some detail and put forward a request that was accepted by the planner that Cullen Drive be open for, and it's another question I would like you to return an answer at some time to. How many cars would use Cullen if it was open and it's an accessory north-south route? I think it was somewhere between 80 and 120. It was quite minimal. But if Cullen Drive was open and Dale was open, and we've always known that Dale was designed to collect run would be, my question is, if you need a second route out and it's Cullen instead of the road to Charlesford Road, my choice is very clear from a habitat point of view. And I'm sorry to the Cullen residents, but when we put this forward, it was accepted by Landmark Planning. Yes, we will open Cullen and use it as an access route that's secondary, and that'll be our second access out to that area. There are two other accesses off of the other small piece that would be localized if you did that, again, for just stage one or longer term. There's one on the existing Van Ruin Drive that was written on the plans that comes out right along the edge of the interface between Area 2 and Area 1. You could go across the Hart Trail halfway through if you had to move people through, because there's already services going across with water and storm sewer. And yeah, there might be 80 or 100 cars, but there wouldn't be 6,400, and that's what's going on to Wilkes. And I would ask you to address the issue of what happens, I don't know the engineering alternatives, when 6,400 cars want to turn onto Wilkes and there isn't a collector road yet for 5 or 10 years, okay? And there's two trains that run over 7 minutes or maybe 9 minutes, where are those cars going to go? Because I guarantee, unless there's signage or no left turn or something, they're all going down Charlesford Road. We see it happen now with the people that go that way, and when there's big trains, they get heavy. So All that to say, we had a proposal to open Cullen. I don't know if that would take away the immediate necessity to have a paved road. And I've been told two things. Have to have a paved road for a second access, and there won't be any gravel trucks or construction trucks for the 5 to 10 years. So I would like a clarification on what's happening with that area, and the request is simple. Give us 5 years. When you build your first 150 houses and 250 are in phase one, don't build them there first, and it might buy us a little bit of time to come up with an alternate solution. And we have traffic problems and a real serious habitat issue that I would really like to be able to talk to our city administration about to see if there's other alternatives. Yeah, but the Hart Trail, Friends of Hart Trail, who stewarded the trail wonderfully for a while, they asked that Cullen be closed. Why? Because Van Ruin Prairie Garden is there, and Chalmerdine Forest will be placed in there. It's wide open right now. And I respect that point of view. It's just named after my parents, and I don't agree with it. Because Van Ruin Prairie Garden is two boxes of beautifully manicured sample prairie plants. And I couldn't care less if I'm sitting on the bench and there's a road that 70 or 80 cars use. So again, please give us how many cars would have used it. If there's 150 cars or 150 homes put in and you review the traffic patterns, you might just find that opening Cullen would be of some use. So I raise the question, instead of locking yourself into this bay pattern, could you leave a couple of lots open and develop them later so that the Cullen extension isn't for all time closed off? I leave that as an open question. As I say, it's disappointing to me that we save a beautiful tribute park that I wouldn't mind sitting beside on my parents' bench that says we love Charleswood, and we take out a piece of prairie 4 minutes away and destroy something that really is a habitat corridor. In case I don't get time to do it, Charleswood Historical has been insulted tonight, maybe inadvertently, but we haven't talked to administration yet. We've been working for over a year on something called the Old Pembina Trail Habitat Preservation Trail. It pays respect to 200 years of Red River carts that my dad discovered the trail for. And what did we name that after? A trail that runs through where some of the houses are, around the old oaks, and the closest area to, because we don't know with 7 property owners, it's not unmanageable, and that's what there are with backland. It's not 13, it's 7. If one of them says, no, you're not putting a trail through here, we don't have a trail anymore. So we were given, by Landmark Planning in Qualico, a pretty strong assertion that 30 feet would be left. 30 feet, and we asked for 60, so that we could get by with a trail that animals could go beside, that cyclists could use if they were using it that way for part of the trip. And that would be left to commemorate 200 years of Red River carts. Could we run them through the middle of Area 2? Well, we're putting a lot on Area 2 right now, and we're taking a bush trail and meadows and maybe running a bike path through it. No, we would really like to. Our intention was to have 30 feet as a safety measure, so no matter what happened with Area 2, and I would prefer a walking path there when we're going through habitat than something bigger, we would really like that. And now administration, who we haven't talked to, is saying, oh, that should really be a ditch. Oh, we don't see any need for having more than 10 feet on that area. Who's going to take care of it? So the idea of the grand idea of a trail where we could maybe plant oaks, preserve oak roots, and have a connection between Oak Park High School at Ranarc all the way to Oak Bluff, it's kind of down the wire. Wetlands, I really don't want anyone to say, I wish Gordon Goldsboro was here today. I'm getting kind of sick of people disparaging wetlands and soggy ground and, oh, it's not real wetland. What do you think the wetlands were when we had wet prairie? A lot of them were wet part of the year. They were covered in willows. Gordon Goldsboro says that's how you find a wetland on wet prairie. It's where the willows are. There's a huge piece just across from the Ball Diamonds on the other side of Wilkes. So they might not look pretty to you, but that's probably what most of the wetland was when the Pembina Trail snaked around the low ground and went all the way north-south. So it's, they say what we asked for was a connection to this area that's now troublesome of 10 meters that isn't going to be taken care of along the railway tracks where it's noisy and people might throw mattresses into it. You know what? If instead of 10 meters, if it was 20 meters and there was tall grass or some willows left and any connection to it from the whole corridor. We have a corridor just about that goes from Assiniboine Forest all the way to the back of Wendy Jameson's house on the edge of the interface between Area 2 and Area 1. And then it stops. And what do we have there? High-density housing, possibly. What I would say is, again, if you're going to develop it later, out of respect, block off a piece that you don't develop in the first or second stage that could be a pathway through for animals to adrenaline adventures, because that's what they use. I have a question for you. Will the animals go beside those lakes on the open green spots? They're pretty. Will they use them? Well, deer will, because they'll go on anything. But will the skunks, will the foxes, will a bunch of the other species? I kind of doubt it. So I would ask, again, we'll bring it up when we talk to the administration, even if it's too late, but we would ask that an empty lot be left or an empty section in the interim, so that if, in fact, we want it, we Area 2 residents agree, if we save a chunk that has prairie and 107-year-old oaks, that there's a possible connection. Donovan kind of made light of the fact, in best of intentions, that there's no way we want animals or people going over the train tracks. Well, that makes two of us, or a whole group of us. Our intention was that as soon as we saw some of the studies, that the north-south route wasn't safe for animals with major transportation. So what we would like you to look at is retain a corridor that's, even if it's only 10 meters, that has a chance for animals to move through it, retain a connection to it along Wilkes, at least in the short term, and that will give animals a chance to move past Adrenaline Adventures out to Hall Road. And it'll be an actual corridor that will have some connection from Assiniboine Forest and Fort White all the way out. Otherwise, it's gone. I just don't see any corridor being left. And that's a serious thing that we should be planning before just developments. And people? People are, I asked Ms. Havixbeck, how many people were going to be living in the next 30 years south of Wilkes? Because it will develop. And whether it's 10,000 or 110,000, we've looked at a series of things. And if you, I brought up when I discussed with Landmark Planning and Donovan, could we have a type of intersection like they have at Shaftesbury and Wilkes, where there's a separate bike path when you put the intersection in? So if you have 100 cyclists, or if you have 600 cyclists, they could come up Charleswood Road past the Ball Diamonds, along our old Pemina Trail Heart Preservation Trail, which might run behind the Ball Diamonds all the way out to Oak Bluff. If we've got 100,000 people in there, we shouldn't just be planning for one precinct, Precinct Q, because we have another six precincts coming. And where is the habitat trail? There might be one other in that area. There might be none. So what we were looking at with respect to Donovan wasn't putting people across the train tracks. It was sending animals westward and maybe having a people access there. We're quite happy with people access along the lakes as well. And sending people to Charleswood Road, because can you cross at the perimeter? Does anyone know? And only if you go over the perimeter, because there's no crossing. So if you're riding a bicycle from the 4 mile road, the back of the original river lots, for 2 miles to Wilkes, you can't get over at the perimeter unless you go over a very dangerous perimeter overpass. Where's the next crossing? Charleswood Road. Where's the next one after that? Community Road. So I would ask that, with some respect, that we have never had on the table from our earliest days having some type of overpass or level crossing for animals or people in the middle of that area. Please look at Charleswood Road and look at some of the amenities. Then if you cross at Charleswood Road, I guess bicycles could wander up onto the other collectors, and that collector would be used. But that's one important point. The lakes. And then I'll put the rest in writing.
Please.
Did you have a record of how long Mr. Veach and Mr. and Donovan Taves talked?
We didn't keep track.
Maybe I could guess, probably about an hour and 10 minutes. Because it's really tough to answer 55 points. Just making the point, and not a really fair process. The green spaces alongside the lakes, we asked the question. We have about 14 questions. Donovan answered two or three. He sent us survey results for land surveys. I haven't had a chance to read them yet, because where you place those lakes determines where we can put them in Area 2. where they were originally, we had room to move lakes over to the lower land. I can't read the survey results, so I think he sent me a map that has them, so thank you for that. But if you put the maps where they are, you're forcing drainage onto the highest piece of land in Area 2, which has real impacts on us in Area 2. What I would request is that we have time to look at the area drainage lakes. If one of the one lake is fine, if the other one, according to the original conceptual drawing, moved closer to the bottom edge, it would be a habitat shelter, and give us a chance to drain what? The 20 acres of our property and our neighbors, and some drainage for Qualico if it needed it. If it's all in the roadway system, that's why they need the roads to the Big Blue Stem to set up their drainage system. So it's kind of problematic. We asked Donovan, could you give us a sense of what these areas beside the greenways, beside the lakes, what are they to be used for? What will they look like? What's your sense of it? Can they be used for active transportation? This is really important to us, and we didn't get an answer. What we got was, well, it's still conceptual. We don't really know what it's going to look like. Well, you got them drawn in now, so we want to know, when people are cycling all the way through the area and to Adrenaline Adventures, if they're on the Hart Trail or a natural area close to it, will they be able to cycle? Will it be hard surface around these lakes? How wide will it be? And if it's just a walking path, I would suggest maybe we look at halving the size of some of those and keeping what we asked for, a walk on the wild side, where we place the lakes actually adjacent to habitat areas to enhance them. And it was received by Donovan and Mr. Veach very well. Oh, what a good idea. Yes, we'll certainly look at that. We don't see it in Area 1. What we see is two lakes right in the middle of an open field with no habitat and some lost opportunities for design that might have created a different direction. Charleswood Road will be closed at some time, and we would like more specifics on that. I'll look at circulating a petition and a letter with the Charleswood Road residents who are very concerned about this, and see if we can maybe get a little more information about. It's going to be kind of tough in the transition period, very similar to Elmhurst, where if you wait 5 or 10 years and then you close it, but the same number of people are still crossing, it's a problem. East-West Connector, a question I would like to reply to at some point from administration or the decision makers. When is the East-West Connector going in, the southern one and the northern one? And that's important to us because of the number of cars that will be going out on Wilkes. Improve on something that's already looking pretty good. If this is the road through the Big Blue Stem for a huge number of people in our community, no, it isn't looking pretty good where it is right now.
Last one.
Oh, that'll be tough. Okay. I just went through about 12, so I'm getting through there. The 150 building permits, let's finish with that one. If only, I don't know what the administration has come up with for a recommendation, but if there was only 150, we might actually be able to have a better chance of looking at some of the transportation options, where people are moving, where there's problems. So I really like that idea. And I don't have any doubt that 750 homes or close to it will go in at some point. Things are a little bit rushed in terms of the impact it's going to have on us and the transfer station structures they have. So I could live with 150 in a review because I have some real serious questions about how little Dale is going to be used when it's designed, the fact that Cullen's been taken off the map. Please give us an answer on the estimate for number of cars that will be using the traffic-calmed route that cuts through to Charleswood Road. And while they're putting in these streets, I would really like to like to have some data. When you get to the specific area study, that's when you're supposed to have the data. We have no AT data in terms of active transportation estimates. It's hard to get. And I think it's time for us to have some specific data, and I thought that was a really good suggestion. Do 150, then review what's happening with transportation and see what the patterns are. So what I will do is take the whole list of 54 points that came out of what I listened to here, I take them back to my group and submit in writing, and we will do what we can to work for the good of the natural inventory in this and other areas when we have a chance to meet with administration. Thank you for your patience.
Thanks, Lyle. Other people in opposition, Lance Bell, Angela Reeves, Gavin Lane Reed, Randy Drew, Bran Adams, Judy Firth, Jacqueline Clement, Gwen Jameson, Harold Strom, Claire Coleman, Neil Candace, Deanne Coombs, Judy Taylor, Robert Reed, Vecina Manel, David Nichols, Colin Nichols, Sonia Strauss, opposition, Greg Hoare, Curtis Kluk, Linda Bowman, Al Bowman, and Gail Buffington. Okay.
Hi. Okay. Just a couple questions before I make a point. When you say it's the third time it's been laid over, isn't that just for the precinct plan, since this is like a separate subdivision within? No? So we have to do Area 7 then after, I'm guessing? Sorry? We're doing Area 7 then after, I'm guessing?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Also, the second question I have is for the traffic levy, with having a new traffic levy. Would that take into consideration the current citizens living on Charleswood within that new traffic levy that they showed? Like, would that create higher taxes for the...
New developments.
Sorry?
That's the new developments.
Yeah, I know, but there's, like, residents that live on that part of Charleswood Road right now. That south of Rannoch.
No, it wouldn't be any part of it. It just as new developments come online, I think that's...
So the people adjacent to the developments won't be?
A levy like that would not be put on existing residents. It would affect people coming forward to subdivide land. They would be asked to contribute to a levy, not a single homeowner who lives in the area.
Okay. Also, just, I don't know, a couple of questions. With the 150 possible limit being put on, would it be possible before traffic analysis to see that without that road going through the forest, it follows south of the forest connecting onto Charleswood Road? That way you're not cutting a forest in half. Like, can I use this? Yeah, okay. So instead of it going right there, it going south and then connecting here. So you're not cutting through a forest before knowing what the actual traffic outcome of this will be. And also, living just off of Dale, I noticed that traffic flow going north is way more consistent than traffic flow going south, considering a lot more people work in the downtown St. James area, and most grocery stores and services like in Unicity or Extra Foods in Dale are north, not south. So I feel as though more traffic will start using Dale than they would using a feeder road. And then with eventually closing off that intersection at Wilkes, what will that do for the flow until you potentially connect it to another new part? Like, is there a way to somehow include the connection to the perimeter highway that's currently there? Because you'll be blocking off Wilkes, and there'll be no access to that perimeter from Wilkes if you close Charleswood Road at Wilkes.
Is involves the provincial government. It's a provincial trunk highway, so at this point, I don't think there's much option for that.
Okay. That's all.
Thank you.
Brian Adams of Braywood. I wasn't planning on speaking, but I feel like I want to let people know why I oppose Section 1. I'm a fairly new resident to Charleswood, been here for a couple summers now, and I like Charleswood area, and it's really the crown of Winnipeg. You have three emeralds, Assiniboine Park, Assiniboine Forest, and Fort White. Then you have the Prairie Crown pointing out in Charleswood. When I bought my house, I loved the dog park on Grant. I loved being able to come off of Braywood, go onto the Hart Trail, and see the prairie. I'm not going to be able to see that. I'm probably going to have to pay for this. My house value is likely to go down, and I'm likely going to take my tax dollars to a rural town because I don't like this. Thank you.
Colin, right?
Colin, yes.
Okay.
As you could attest to now living over in St. James, the one concern I have is how they, in St. James area, over the Centerport area, where they developed such a big, massive monstrosity of a fencing to knock off the attenuation of all the sound and everything that was involved in that area. I think what they should really be doing is looking more towards a berm area of this development that's going on, instead of putting this big monstrosity of fences and everything else that they usually do nowadays. It's really enclosing in the Charleswood area and places like I used to live where St. Charles School used to be. I complained, well, actually I didn't complain, my mom complained for years and years and years, I would say probably about a good 15 years, to try and get a berm, to try and get a fence, to try and get tartar-resistant, implications put in for semis to not use their brakes at certain times and stuff like that. And they've come up with that, I qualify as a stupid solution, of putting up a big monstrosity of a fence, 16, 17 feet in the air, to accommodate the residents. I think the more accommodation for this development would probably be more towards of a berm side to allow, I guess you'd say, the nature to move around a little bit better, other than putting up big fences again and, you know, having everyone that drives down the perimeter highway of just looking at a fence all the way down that whole stretch. It's bad enough with Centerport already, putting up their stuff. And unfortunately, like I say, I never had the luxury of having St. Charles School having a berm put up, but that's what I have to deal with. But I've moved on and moved on to Charleswood, so I would say that for a consideration for what they're looking to do in this development, to come under heavy consideration, other than just creating big fences after one after another. Other than that, just the everyone else has went after through the traffic and everything else, so I'm not going to keep on rehashing that type of issue. So, all right.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.
Just for your information, the 16-foot fence is a creature of the provincial government. It's not the city.
It's a creature of any habit, whether or not it's the government or not. It's could be still policy within the city works too, right? So
no, we have no jurisdiction on that particular line. But your point is well taken on the south side of the
yeah, it's just along
the railroad.
That south side is just allow it.
Fair enough.
All right.
Thank you. We have two persons that have wanted information, Paula Makarenko and Lois Caron. I don't suppose they're here. Anybody else that would like to make a presentation in opposition at this point? Seeing none, I guess we will invite our applicant back to the dais. And I will keep you to 6 minutes this time.
Maybe less than that. There weren't a lot of comments that I feel that I can respond to in this plan. There's a couple from Mr. Van Roon that we will respond to. It is unfortunate. We did meet quite a number of times and talked a lot. Perhaps there was the sense that there were promises where there weren't promises. In this area with the Big Blue Stem, as I mentioned, we can look at this roadway in an earlier design was actually down here. And I asked if we could move it up to the north part so that the road would go through a thinner piece of forest rather than a thicker piece of forest. So, as I say, we can look at this and perhaps move the road south, which sounds like it may address, to some degree, the Big Blue Stem, although not in its entirety, it seems. This connection from north to south, the trail that Mr. Van Roon mentioned, and we talked about this piece earlier, so there's some further weight to the argument to perhaps leave it, is the concern that the alignment of the trail continues. I think Mr. Van Roon is looking at this trail continuing through and then dispersing to the right and to the left, and I don't find it to be an idea that is, I don't want to offend Mr. Van Roon, but I don't think it's a great idea in this respect. There's lots of good ideas, but I don't agree with that one. Then there was some question about Cullen, and so I invited Bob here to take one of my minutes to speak about Cullen.
I'll make this very quick. In the precinct plan, when we generated the traffic volumes, we had about 945 on Dale. This is with the full development. The current traffic on Cullen is about 350. If you take some of the traffic that was using Dale, move it over to Cullen, probably about a third of it, so another 300. But the problem with Cullen is it's got driveways for the, you know, fronting onto the street, whereas Dale is a collector. I think there's four houses at the very south end that have private accesses right to the street. So that's why we said no. It's not probably not a good idea to put traffic onto Cullen. You're not going to get a lot of traffic, and there's all those driveways. So.
And then just a point of clarification that the red areas would not be high density. Somebody mentioned they'd be high density multifamily. They'd be the lowest category of multifamily. And again, the form of housing, something like this, but not denser than that, where it's four families per unit. And there it wouldn't be cheap units. That's all I have. Unless there's questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Questions for Donovan? No questions?
No.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, are we going to make a decision on this, make a motion?
Actually, I'd like to ask Donovan a question.
I'm sorry? Oh, we have one question for you, yeah. Donovan.
Donovan, I just want to clarify your understanding. The options here are to reject, to accept with amendments. or for you to withdraw your application. Is there any opportunity that you would consider entertaining withdrawing the application so that for whatever reason, whether it was submitted, it wasn't submitted, I mean, we had six people here tell us that they hadn't had a chance to review 50 changes. And, you know, by withdrawing, that gives a couple months for the administration to go back and look at those changes and write a companionship report to what you've submitted.
Right.
So.
There may be one other option not identified in your list so far.
Okay. Maybe I missed something.
And I'm sure the clerk can tell me I'm crazy or incorrect at least. And that is, I think the application can go up to P&D without a recommendation and could be sent back to your committee. And that would, by the time required to address the issues you raised, and would not, and it would be clean.
Well, given the public hearing process,
yep.
And we close representations here, I don't know that that's a guarantee out of that committee. So
I see.
It is an option, you're
it's
right.
An option, but this is your last moment.
Sounds ominous. I'll defer to Mr. Bowman.
I do appreciate that this is a complicated project, and I've been through a number of them over the years, and unfortunately over the last couple of years development procedures have been created so that we couldn't have a layover to figure things out. And I think that would be the exact thing we need now, is a layover to figure things out. But the shape it would take, I understand, is that we would withdraw with the understanding that we would be free to reapply and then have another hearing in a couple months.
The complication has been because we've been asked to approve a precinct plan concurrently to applications being filed. So that's a complicating factor because you kind of want to have A before you go to B, right?
Sure.
I'm sure you would agree that that's a major driving force, and there's no way to know what revisions to that plan may come. So,
I think my biggest concern about withdrawal is the usual expectation that we'd be told we can't apply for a year, but if you're saying that
I
don't think that's the case. I think you are able to apply within a year. I think if it's rejected, then you couldn't apply within 365 days.
Oh, of course. The wording is may, I believe. Right. I could get some clarification from the planner.
James?
Yeah.
Well, let me say it. I'm happy to withdraw and clarify several of these issues and work with the administration and with the neighborhood to do some more.
Let's just hear from James.
Yeah, that clause is in the Winnipeg Charter, and it says that the administration may reject an application and require that it be filed outside of a year. But the wording is may reject. So in this case, to work with the applicants and public administration, the feeling was that there wouldn't be a rejection of a similar application. As long as there's time to work it out.
You're safe.
Yes.
Can the department at all waive any of the costs? There's a considerable cost to advertising, to reapplying.
Yeah. What I was involved in a discussion at one point, and that advertising would be waived and that the city would pay for the advertising in the newspaper if some of these applications were withdrawn. But I can't speak to the cost of the actual application being waived. That happens through zoning and permits, and that goes towards administration time and time spent on the application. But there is a possibility that even the application fees could be waived in this circumstance, but I can't guarantee.
Well, we would want to reapply quickly so that everybody remembers what we're talking about. But I wouldn't worry about an application fee if
it's not a deal breaker, the application fees. I mean, it's just cost increases.
Right.
Okay.
There are a couple of other applications, I gather. Are we all in the same boat? In my mind, it looks to be wise to withdraw and reapply. The question is, when would I show up, I guess. Are the reports really still done? Are we here in 2 months?
Say that again. So you're.
Or would, like, if we withdrew and reapplied, are we here in 2 months? And I think that these
you
issues.
You want to be here in 2 months, but you're saying you want to be here soon.
Yeah.
It would be less than 2 months because it's November the 5th.
I think I'd be ready to reapply tomorrow morning.
Can we guarantee that quick time?
We can guarantee we'll do our best to get you back within 2 months, but there's the issue of the advertising deadlines that go to the newspaper because it has to be re-advertised. Working out some of these issues and including some of the stakeholders, I think that would be a request that the stakeholders be included. But that levy piece about the two different levies and how do we address that, I think we could handle that, but I wouldn't want to guarantee 2 months exactly.
I think the intent from the committee, although I guess it's administration that will handle all that aspects of it, would be for it to come back as soon as possible. That would be the direction that, although I guess I don't know if we can give direction on that, but can you?
November 5th or December 3rd?
Well, I guess the reality is that the levy issue is something that applies to everybody, and we would have to get it done well. So if it takes 3 months, it will, and we'll reapply and get to work right away.
Intention to begin building this? Was it spring anyways? Or was it
I guess in a very smooth procedure, we could be seeing ourselves putting in streets next fall.
Okay.
So that would be tight.
So there's
perhaps digging in the fall and streets the following year. I would still like to get going for next fall, but we've got to get things resolved.
Have we given you enough comfort to know that it'll be in a timely fashion, and we're not looking to?
Pardon me?
We just want to make sure that you feel comfortable. You know, we're not looking to.
These are difficult issues, and we got to make sure they're done. Properly, so I'm good with that. So I'm prepared to withdraw.
Okay, so we'll get a motion from him. So
we've made a motion that we withdraw the subdivision and rezoning.
I guess the applicant is withdrawn. So what do we need to do, Mr. Clerk?
Accept his request to withdraw, and then we'll file a matter.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
So I'll move and we file.
Next one. Okay.